Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us.
Our present meditation is on the group, the apostolate. The group, the apostolate. Or associations of lay apostolic work. All we've been saying so far stands. In most cases, most of our apostolic work is done by us as individuals. And that is literally a 7 days a week, all day, and into the night, apostolic endeavor. There's one thing I hope, our Lord, that will give you the grace and you will cooperate with the grace He gives you. It's to see your lives more clearly than ever before. See your lives as apostolic. In other words, while surely the first purpose of a retreat is to sanctify one's own soul, be freed from sin, and after the virtues that I obviously need in my life. However, and this is why this retreat I don't see as unique, but concentrates on what St. Ignatius makes so clear: our growth in holiness, our cultivation of the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, patience, chastity, and humility, are all meant to be means to a further apostolic end. In other words, you are to become more pleasing to God as individuals in order to become more effective channels of His grace to others. That stands. Then, the more obvious and constant way of exercising our apostolate, I repeat, and as individuals. Each of us, in a different situation, state of life, circumstances. But now we wish to begin, and in this meditation, concentrate on that we're calling the group or collective lay apostolate. And our question was, what is the first quality which lay apostolic associations should have? Because apostolic work of the church is to be done indeed by us as individuals, but not only. We are to either join or form through apostolic associations. Only God knows how many such associations of the laity, Catholic laity, there are in the country. I would say conservatively, at least, and I'm not exaggerating, 5,000 some large national organizations, some very small. And the key behind collective apostolic work is first in all ways that God gives special grace. Remember, he tells us, two or three are gathered together in my name, not only to pray together, as we said for the family, but to work together. The Society of Jesus began as a lay association of dedicated Catholics in Spain. Ignatius was converted 1520. The Society of Jesus was officially founded in 1540, for 20 years. Ignatius organized lay people to work with him. But with him, first, to preserve the Catholic faith in Spain. Martin Luther and Ignatius Loyola were contemporaries. But with the rest of Europe, so much of Western Europe, Germany, Belgium, England, Sweden, Norway, was lost to the Catholic Church, with scattered exceptions. Spain was spared, and it is historically mainly because one man, Ignatius Loyola, organized lay Catholics to preserve the faith. And in time then, formed what we now call the Society of Jesus. And here it is. And he began by giving them retreats. Giving them retreats. He was the one who first organized what we now call retreats. He called these retreats the spiritual exercises, except that the retreats that he gave, and these were lay people, were not just a short weekend. We would hear a long, shall we call it, longer weekend, starting on Wednesday and finishing, Lord willing, tomorrow on Sunday. Made for 30 days, and most of them were made in the people's own homes. And this is the first time in any retreat that will say something about what we have organized in the United States. As some of you know, for lay people to make, a 30-day spiritual exercise. Three meditations each day, an average of an hour for each meditation. I began doing this, my correspondence and telephone. But it got out of hand. There were too many people who wanted to do this. And the payoff came when I got a call from Washington. 30 politicians. want to make the 30-day spiritual exercise. Pay my transportation to Washington, Vancouver, for a couple of hours, and the evening, fill back the next morning. Work out around. This time, 90 business people on the West Coast and Seattle. They wanted to do the same thing. I had to get faith to direct these people. Father Brown has been my chief, shall I call it, recruit. My focus in this meditation is not on this enterprise, only what I will do before the day is over, and perhaps tonight, distribute at least some information about making the 30-day spiritual exercises at home. You can't imagine the people who have gone through these spiritual exercises. One calculation now is around 6,000 have ordered folk to cope with the sheer numbers. I have seen copies on the table. Retreat from the Lord. Lives have been changed. Just one example. A young woman, an athlete in professional basketball on the East Coast. She had planned to start a 30-day exercise. He called me up. Father, what a problem. I just received a letter from Tokyo. They're inviting me to spend a year in Japan training their women athletes. I'm supposed to start my retreat. Well, no problem. Better call back Tokyo and tell them you want to be in telephone contact with the United States at least 3 to 5 days a week for 4 weeks, and they pay for your telephone. And sign the contract. Wonderful. Must have been a very good telephone connection. As clear as a bell, she made the 30-day spiritual exercises. She in Tokyo, me in Detroit. But then she reached a decision. And the decision was to give up professional basketball. She is now a young religious in a monastery in Virginia. And she makes Sports Illustrated. Very big picture of Shelley, that's her first name, holding a basketball under the marquee of a gymnasium where she was playing basketball, featuring Shelley, last name Pentagon. Tall girl. She gave up basketball. She is now a contemplative cloistered Franciscan nun. In other words, spiritual exercises work. And she made the inside page of Sports Illustrated. so much for that. We will distribute this evening just a brief description for both ourselves and others to make the 30 day spiritual exercises if you believe the Lord wants you to. Now back to our theme for this meditation. What is the first quality which the lay apostolic association should have? Clearly, what I'm in effect strongly recommending either to join an existing lay apostolic association, or, and I think I've talked to the right man, form one, and I help you to organize. One of my main apostolates in the priesthood. Answer the question. These associations are to promote a strong and intimate unity between the faith of their members and their everyday life. What is what we're saying? The first quality for a truly Catholic lay association is a close unity between their Catholic faith and their everyday life. In such a way that, as members of the association, their lives will reflect their faith. And all that we've said so far stands. And I would ask, and we continue. In other words, lay apostles must develop a deep understanding of the Catholic faith, both as individuals and as members of apostolic groups. And for this, there is no substitute. In other words, all we've been talking about now for the third full day will be only as effective as you understand your Catholic faith. I pray to ask the Lord first to enlighten me on what should be the theme. God counsel, but especially pray, what should be the theme of this retreat, beginning last Wednesday evening, and please God closing tomorrow morning. And the decision was to have the retreat concentrate on the lay apostolate. You're asking, what is the first quality? The first quality of a lay person who has the Catholic faith and wants to either join or form, then I strongly recommend, if you do not belong to a lay Catholic Apostolic Association, even before this retreat is over, pray and ask for light on what association you should join or what association you should form. And it could be an interested in forming among those who are making this retreat. Over the years, only God knows how pleased He is with what I'm trying to do for His greater glory. But there are three main apostolic enterprises that, in God's grace, I've been involved in. First, teaching. Especially my 25 years of teaching my own Jesuits their theology. Secondly, writing. And this I strongly, that's my best answer, strongly recommend you think seriously about writing for publication. I formed a County Writers Association in New York. Very active. Even have an office in New York City. I formed a Jesuit Writers Guild for members of the Society of Jesus to publish. And just one of my former students in theology, a Jesuit, you may have read some of his books, Father John Fowler. So one of his paperbacks recently turned the covers. On the reverse side, it said, there are now 9 million copies of Father John Powell's books in print. And Father Hart, let me use the verb, bugged the young John Powell before his ordination. John, you should write for publication. Who, me? Yes, you. My second apostolic effort, writing. But thirdly, and now back to where we are, organizing. For 26 years, my main responsibility in working for the Holy See is organizing. Organizing what the Holy See wants for what else? Organizing. With God's grace, I hope this will be the most down-to-earth, practical retreat that you've ever made. There is work to be done, souls to be saved. One motto has dominated my life of my fellow Jesuit St. Francis Xavier. Here's prayer to our Lord. Domine Dom mihi animas. Lord, give me souls. I used to ask our Lord, Lord, give me thousands of souls. I've changed the prayer. Now, Lord, give me millions of souls. And we have the means at our disposal now that our communications lead. Back to the question and the issue that we are raising. Remember the question. What is the first quality that lay apostolic association should have? And I'm not suggesting I'm not really recommending, I'm telling you. Either joy or form, an association or associations engaged in the apostolate. The same Francis Xavier that I quoted a moment ago wrote to St. Ignatius. Xavier was a mystic. There are historically provable records of Francis Xavier raising people from the dead. God worked miracles to Xavier. He lasted 10 years in India, died exhausted by his apostolic labor. I went right back to Europe, begging people in Europe to do what I'm sharing with you. Get busy. Get to work. I see souls, I'm quoting verbatim Francis Xavier. I see souls falling into hell like snakes. Snowflakes falling on the ground in bitter. But I read a score of interpretations of Christ's words. The road that leads to perdition is wide, and many there are that walk it. The road that leads to heavenly glory is narrow, and few there are that walk that road. Only God knows, only He knows, how many souls will be saved and how many will be lost. With all the faith that I have, and all the theology that I know tells me that millions, unless they are converted, will not be saved. This is not piosity. This is the truth. To save souls from hell, and we are told by the church, the apostles must develop a deep understanding of their Catholic faith. And here again, I'm not talking in abstraction. And once more, under direction of the Holy Savior, I've said more than once, my 26 years in working for the Vatican, I've got to be paying not $1, but 1 lire. A religious exchange is 900 lire to an American dollar. Courses in the faith that have organized. All the missionaries of charity throughout the world. Two basic courses. I wish someone else had written those courses. But unfortunately it was I recommend that you learn your faith, study your faith, master your understanding of the faith. You're dealing with a highly academically educated nation. educated in everything, except so many not understanding what is most important, the revealed Word of God. Next question. There will be only two for this meditation. What is a model for these apostolic associations? Question raised by the Second Vatican Council. Answer. Keeping in mind the apostolic character, these associations could begin with just two people. These associations should learn from secular institutions. How much some of us know about the business world. The reason for this is the rapid evolution of modern society with corresponding development in its institutional structure. Catholics should profit from this development. You meddle in business. Some of you, I'm sure, have started your own business. All the years of experience. Our church is telling us, use the knowledge you have from the secular world and organize it, structuring associations of lay apostolic zeal so that borrowing, if I may use that verb, borrowing for your knowledge of the world in which you live, you may use that years, no doubt, of experience. And the name of our Lord, let us organize to cope with a highly organized and demonically effective associations that are, and I use these words deliberately, hell-bent on destroying the Catholic Church and seducing, and they are so successful in doing, seducing bishops. Only bishops participating in the International Convention of the Call to Action in Detroit. Bishops from America, bishops from overseas, priests, religious, and of course the laity. They pay good money to belong. Their present membership is over 12,000. I could quote from the principles to which they subscribe. Just one sentence. Which will be at the International Convention in Detroit in November. One statement. Jesus Christ did not institute the priesthood. That same statement being developed for one solid hour by the keynote speaker here in Chicago, for 100 Catholic and Protestant theologians and men. Bishop McBrien of Notre Dame University, for 1 hour, told his audience, Christ did not institute the priesthood. And he was wildly applauded by the audience, many of whom were priests, priest theologians, teaching in professedly Catholic seminaries. All he can do is use words. It is Christ himself in your presence and exposed on the altar. Only he can inspire you with what the world desperately needs. Dedicated, selfless, intelligent Catholics who understand their faith and spend themselves in propagating this faith to begin in a nation our own that has become so almost universally paganized. Confessions. We just spent a few more minutes in answering the question, what is a model for these apostolic associations? The model the Church tells us is the people of this world that Christ kept repeating are so much wiser than the children of light. All the business acumen, all the successful means, as some of you know so well, the world in which we live has exploited to the nth degree my good friend Thomas Monahan, as he told me, didn't tell me to keep it secret. He is worth $1.25 billion. Said this to some of you more than once. We will never get to heaven with all that money. It is an organization, and thank God we are cooperating to use some of his business genius in promoting the apostolate, not making more money, but many souls, and so many back to the Christ who died on the cross for their salvation. All of this, I keep repeating, are not empty words. Oh Lord, only he can inspire you with all the light you need to see the biggest, deepest hunger for Christ in the history of Christianity, and to inspire your will, open your hearts, tell our Lord, your Lord, I'm so involved in so many things. What to do and how to do it. But, dear Jesus, my heart is ready. I'm not exaggerating. All the souls depend on your zeal. I mean that literally. In my life, one hope and prayer is what I'm sharing with you from the depths of my heart that inspired your hearts. He wants of the grace of Christ, offered with him, in retrieving so many who have given up the true faith. The others were sorry for what we can feed them. Pray, our Mother, Queen of Apostles, obtain from Jesus something of your own great love for souls. Loving with the grace that Jesus is giving us, he may be used by your Son to bring souls to heaven that accept for our zeal would ever reach their heavenly destiny. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Father, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us in our course today.